Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Big Blue View Radio, New York Giants fans. And for the fourth straight week, it's another sad Monday morning. Your New York Giants are one of the few winless teams left in the league. And obviously, this is nothing to be happy about. It's a stunning development, you know, for a Giants team that thought that they had put together a team capable of making a Super Bowl run. That obviously at this point doesn't look like the case. Chances are that this team is not making the playoffs. Chances are that the season is over at the quarter pole. There's 12 games to play. But for the most part, you know, chances are that the Giants have already played their final important football game of the 2017 season. Stunning, stunning development. The question is, you know, how on earth did we get here? We'll start with Sunday's game. Sunday's game was, in all honesty, very, very typical of much of what has gone on with the Giants this year. Comedy of mistakes, comedy of issues in all three phases of the game. What I had written this morning at Big Blue View was the head coach, Ben McAdoo, talks all the time about playing complementary football, and which means all three phases contributing. And you can actually look at that statement one of two ways. You can look at it and say the Giants are not playing complementary football, which, if you're talking about winning football, is definitely the case. If you're talking about simply playing bad losing football, then sure, they're definitely playing complementary football because all three phases are contributing to their losing ways. The offense was pitiful through two games, has been better the last couple of weeks, but still not good enough. There are too many dropped passes, too many missed opportunities, and too many curious decisions, perhaps by McAdoo, to go for fourth downs that haven't worked out, instead of taking easy points that in the end, the Giants wish they would have had. Special teams has been awful. Brad Wing with poor punts 2 weeks in a row that put the opponent in position to put together, you know, quick, short scoring drives. Aldrick Rosas missing a field goal on Sunday, 43-yarder. It's the rookie's first miss with the Giants. You can't kill the kid, you know, for missing a 43-yard field goal, especially, you know, he was terrific in the preseason. He won the job. He beat out Mike Nugent. He's been good thus far, but those are 3 points you'd really like to have when you're a struggling team in need of a victory and you leave points off the board. They come back to haunt you, and those did. The Giants haven't gotten anything out of their return game. They're not making plays on special teams. Defensively, they're not getting it done either. This is a team that finished second in the league in scoring defense a year ago. I believe was second in the league against the run. I looked quickly at the stats early this morning. They're, I believe, 25th in the league now against the run. They're not getting stops when they needed them. Through the middle of the game Sunday, they had a couple of stops. But in the fourth quarter on Sunday, the Giants twice had leads. Both times the defense coughed those up. That is exactly what happened the previous week against the Philadelphia Eagles. Two fourth quarter leads that the defense wasn't able to hold. Now, I'll grant you, you know, the first one was a 1-point lead, but still, you know, to be holding a lead and to let a team walk down and go 57 or 58 yards in four plays, that's nothing to be proud of. This is a defense that just isn't playing the way that it did last year. The run defense isn't there. The tackling isn't there. The turnovers aren't there. They don't have an interception through four games. I can't even recall, you know, a situation where the Giants should have had an interception, unless you want to count, you know, defensive tackle Jay Bromley dropping into coverage on Sunday, and pretty much predictably, you know, having a ball hit him in the hands and having no chance to catch it. I can't kill him for that. I'm more concerned about defensive backs and linebackers not being able to come up with big plays. It just has been a miserable, miserable start for the Giants. And, you know, where they go from here is anybody's guess. Let's talk about a couple of good developments that happened on Sunday. The first being the fact that rookie running back Wayne Gallman got some time, was fairly impressive, caught a touchdown pass, had a 13-yard run, looked like a player that the Giants might be able to build with. You know, let's not put him in the Hall of Fame. Let's not make him, you know, the answer to all of their running issues at this point. But he showed on Sunday that he is capable, that he does deserve to play more. Let's hope that the Giants recognize that and give him opportunities going forward. I thought Evan Engram was a factor on Sunday. I think he had six catches. I thought Eli Manning played terrifically on Sunday. 30 of 49, 288 yards, couple of passing touchdowns, a crazy 14-yard run for a touchdown, something that you don't expect to see from Eli Manning. But, you know, it just wasn't enough. The issues that the Giants have are just overwhelming at this point. You know, when you are not a really good football team, you have little to no margin for error. And the Giants basically, you know, against some of these good teams, have got to play pretty close to perfect football, and we're not able to do that. You know, the question becomes at this point, you know, what do the Giants do over the final 12 games? I mean, Ben McAdoo asked about the playoffs yesterday. I asked about, you know, how he holds this team together. He was pretty exasperated. He said, you know, we have to win a damn game. And that's obviously true, but easier said than done. The Giants face so many issues at this point. you know, from offensive line play to running game to defense. It's just hard. Yeah, I couldn't have seen this coming from the Giants this season. To be honest, you know, you go back to last year, the Giants won 11 games. Maybe they did that a little bit with smoke and mirrors. They did it with a defense that was really, really, really good, got on a roll, really dominated against the run, felt really good about itself, made plays. They did it perhaps against a schedule that was weaker, undoubtedly, than the one they're facing this year. They had the Rams last year when the Rams weren't good. They had the Browns last year. They had several weak teams, you know, that they had Carson Wentz and the Eagles twice, obviously, when Wentz was a rookie who was just figuring things out. You know, it just last year, perhaps we got the impression, you know, winning 11 games, getting to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. Maybe heading into this year, we all overestimated the talent that the Giants have. Perhaps even Ben McAdoo and general manager Jerry Reese overestimated the talent that the Giants have available to them. The Giants chose, the first choice that they made was to try to bring back last year's defense. They did that basically by bringing back Jason Pierre-Paul, bringing back Keenan Robinson. They didn't bring back Jonathan Hankins, who they lost in free agency to Indianapolis. But they have pretty much replaced him with Dalvin Tomlinson, who's playing pretty well at this point. You know, they brought back the linebacking core. This is, you know, personnel-wise, basically the same defense they had last year. Should be better, theoretically, with second-year safety Darian Thompson back in the lineup. But you're not getting the same results. Why that is, you know, is really anyone's guess. The tackling just isn't there. Darian Thompson is struggling. And after missing all of last year, he's missed countless tackles. Eli Apple, second-year corner, is struggling. Made some nice plays on Sunday, but again, having difficulty, you know, finding and reacting to the football has been an ongoing issue for Apple. And it was again on Sunday when he gave a touchdown to Mike Evans. The run defense simply hasn't been good. I mean, for a couple of games, you could point to middle linebacker B.J. Goodson being out. But he was there. He was there on Sunday, and while that defense was okay in spots, they still gave up nearly 5 yards a carry, gave up a 36-yard run, weren't able to get stops when they needed them. Tampa Bay tight ends, O.J. Howard with a 58-yard touchdown, Cameron Brate with a bunch of catches in basically situations where he was wide open. Tight ends have been a problem for the Giants for years, continue to be a problem. I don't really know what the personnel, what they can do about that with the personnel that they have. The absence of Olivier Vernon hurt the Giants yesterday, but the reality of it is that even with Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul, the Giants last season didn't really have a third pass rusher on that defensive line. Right now, they still don't. Romeo Okwara, Kerry Wynn are getting time in Vernon's absence, and they're just not giving the Giants anything dynamic. Maybe Cap Cappy, who they got from Arizona and just brought up off the practice squad, can give them something. but they don't have a third dynamic pass rusher to add into the mix. And that causes them problems because neither of their defensive tackles are going to be dynamic pass rushers. They try to use linebacker Devon Kennard as a defensive end or even sometimes inside at tackle in pass rush situations. But they're trying to mix and match and create pass rush and create it with scheme, using some creative blitzes, sometimes off the edge, sometimes with safeties. Right. It's a problem for that defense that they're not really able to get pass rush with four, by simply winning one-on-one matchups. So the pass rush is an issue. Coverage is an issue. Run defense is an issue. So not a good look for the Giants defense through four games at this point. Sort of amazing that we're spending as much time discussing the defense as we have, considering that the offense was thought to be the biggest issue. And the offense has been a little bit better the last couple of weeks. The Giants are finding some ways to scheme around the issues that they have on the offensive line. Still, the offensive line, I gave them kudos Monday morning at Big Blue View in my weekly Kudos and Wet Willies game review. I thought they deserved it after Eli Manning was able to play, able to drop back more than 50 times on Sunday and was never sacked, was only hit a handful of times, had to scramble a couple of times, but I thought the offensive line did a good enough job. Still, you have to question the fact that the Giants didn't really add significant pieces to that group during the offseason. And that leads us to the blame game. Who exactly and what exactly is to blame for the situation that the Giants find themselves in? I think, honestly, there's blame to be spread all around. Last week when the Giants were 0-3, I polled readers at Big Blue View and asked, who was at fault. And I think the majority of our voters pinned the blame on Ben McAdoo, followed by GM Jerry Reese, followed by the players themselves. And in reality, there's blame for all three parties here. I'm actually going to start with the general manager, because the general manager is the guy who's responsible for building this roster. And clearly at this point, some of the decisions that the Giants made are not working out. I mean, the biggest thing that the Giants did in the offseason, the first decision they made was to try to bring back as much of the defense, as they could. I was in favor of that. I was in favor of bringing back Jason Pierre-Paul over Jonathan Hankins, simply because I thought Jason Pierre-Paul was and is a better player. Defensive end is harder to replace, in my view, than defensive tackle. But clearly, something is missing on the defensive side. So clearly, that move to bring back that group as a whole, is not really working out at this point. The bigger issue has been on offense. Did the Giants, do enough to build a supporting cast for Eli Manning? They chose to draft Evan Engram instead of going and drafting an offensive lineman. They chose to spend free agent money on Brandon Marshall and on Rhett Ellison, toss in DJ Fluker if you want, toss in Keenan Robinson if you want. you know, rather than spending exorbitant money on a free agent offensive lineman, or even two free agent offensive linemen for that matter. And at this point, you know, I put Marshall in the Wet Willies category this morning. At this point, for me, Brandon Marshall is simply not working out. You know, my philosophy has always been you build from the inside out. You build from the line out. You can't take advantage of weapons on the outside unless you have quality play on the inside. Now, the Giants were a little bit better on Sunday, but you're also looking at a Tampa Bay team that's last in the league in percentage of sacks generated by their defensive line. So you're not looking at, you know, you're not looking at a team that has Khalil Mack or Von Miller or Joey Bosa, who the Giants are going to face this coming Sunday. So maybe those numbers from the offensive line are a little bit misleading. You simply can't run offense the way you want to run offense when your running game is so inconsistent, when you're having to scheme around issues with your offensive line to find ways to throw the football. This was a huge gamble that the Giants took to add weapons and ignore the offensive line and simply hope that things would improve, simply hope that the added weapons would help the Giants work around issues with the blocking. And that's not really happening at this point. You know, the Giants have been a little bit better on offense the last couple of weeks, but still not good enough, not consistent enough. It's very, very telling when you go five wide receivers, you know, on third and one and third and inches, or when you go shotgun formation, empty the backfield. That's telling you that you simply don't trust your offensive line, you know, to get you that yard or even those inches that you need. And that's an issue, because that's just that you can't play winning football when you can't trust your offensive line that way. You know, and also the Giants got some good work from running back Wayne Gallman on Sunday. But to this point, you know, I almost feel bad for Paul Perkins, because you can't blame negative yardage runs on running backs, but making Perkins the number one back at this point has not worked out. Well, it seems like there was a lot of excitement about Perkins last year, and maybe he will be a good back. Right now, it's just not working. Maybe now we're going to see more Wayne Gallman. I think Perkins sustained an injury on Sunday to his ribs. We don't know how bad that was, but we will find out. Anyway, Giants fans, not sure that I have a whole lot more to say. It's certainly not an optimistic day, certainly not a bright outlook for your Giants. 12 games to play. Probably none of them that are going to mean a whole lot, at least in terms of overall record, in terms of playoff push. So unfortunately, a season that already looks like it's gone down the drain for your New York Giants, which is sad, because you have a quarterback who has won two Super Bowls. He may not be Tom Brady, he may not be his brother, but still looks capable of playing winning football, and that window simply isn't going to last forever. So it's unfortunate that it looks like another season, you know, of Eli Manning's career is going to go down the drain. With without an opportunity to make a run at that fifth trophy, you know, that the Giants continue to talk about. Anyway, Giants fans, if you have questions for me, you can email them to bigblueview@gmail.com. You can also drop them to me on Twitter at bigblueview. You can also check out our Facebook page, which is run by Dan Berkman, who does a really nice job over there and who does some Facebook Live stuff post-game. So be sure to check out that community. And then I will be back with you again, perhaps later in the week, as we get ready for the Los Angeles Chargers. Of course, that means we'll be talking a lot, probably, about Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers and the 2004 trade that brought Manning to the Giants. Something's got to give on Sunday. The Giants and Chargers are two of the NFL's winless teams at this point. One of them has to leave with a win, you would think. I mean, you know, obviously there is always the potential for a tie, but that would be cruel for everyone. And let's hope that doesn't happen. Anyway, Giants fans, continue to check out bigblueview.com. And continue to give us a listen here. And we appreciate your time. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.